Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a Master of Arts in Communications to advance careers in media, PR, and journalism. Fuller part-time options, 518-454-5143. From Northeast Public Radio, this is the Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
And the Media Project is underway. Welcome, I'm Ira Fussfeld of the Daily Freeman of Kingston, New York, and Alan Shartok of WAMC is here, as is Mike Spain, the associate editor of the Times Union of Albany. And of course, that was Pete Seeger playing us in, as he always does, and we have to offer our condolences to Pete, who just lost his wife, Toshi, the other day.
Well, Toshi is one of the most amazing people that I have ever met in my whole life. Gracious, wonderful, obviously a huge part of the legend of Pete Seeger. You know, did so much to maintain his equilibrium, his life. And I can tell you one Toshi story that I really loved. I read a piece in Hudson Valley Magazine in which Pete said that nobody should live in more than two rooms. That was his philosophy. Nobody should live in more than two rooms. And one night, he and a whole bunch of people came to do a performance at the Mahewi Theater in Great Barrington, and the Shartoks put them all up. We have a fairly big house. I believe there were 11 people. And I took Toshi and Pete to their rooms up on the third floor, and which has now been rededicated as the Pete Seeger Suite. And now we're going to change it to the Pete and Toshi Seeger Suite. And Toshi, I think, sensing my discomfort, turned around and said to Peter, "Peter, this is the house I've always wanted so I could bring all my relatives here." And I thought that that just showed who she was. Well, huge part of
it. And this. great friend of the radio station, of course, as is Pete, and has done and will continue to do a lot for the station.
Can't even believe how good she was and how good he is.
Well, our best to Pete and the family, and we now have to switch to the more mundane and wild and wacky world of the media. And a number of topics that are sort of recurring, but I thought I'd start with one about our friend, and again, a station friend, Elliot Spitzer, who, as we speak, is trying to gather enough signatures on petitions to get himself on the ballot for the primary, for the controller of New York City, the Democratic primary. And I guess the question I would ask, we know why Elliot Spitzer, the former governor, had to resign in disgrace. We know why Anthony Weiner, the candidate for mayor, had to resign in disgrace. Beyond the whole social fabric question of, is there a comeback in their future and can they overcome the comeback?
Like Mark Sanford just did.
Like Mark Sanford. And there unfortunately are any number of other examples.
Why do you say unfortunately?
Well, it says something.
You know, Ari, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to stop you right now. Yes. Maybe it's the Toshi
Even before
thing.
I get to the media
you
question.
Well, I have a media question for you. You're really ticking me off.
Ah, okay.
And I'll tell you why. You guys are all the same. You say, instead of when Elliot Spitzer had to resign, we all know why he resigned. Why is it necessary to always use the word disgrace in the sense?
Well, therein lies part of what I was getting at in terms of how the media is going to deal with Spitzer, presuming he is able to get the signatures to be a candidate, and Weiner going forward. Is every story going to say he resigned in disgrace? Is every story going to say why he resigned in disgrace,
Mike, et cetera? Because it's all titillation and you know it.
Well, let's ask the expert in print, the representative of the largest newspaper
It will be a while before somebody like Elliot Spitzer is not associated with the word disgrace and scandal and prostitution. You know, it would have been nice if the only thing we remember him for was being sheriff of Wall Street, who took on the big guys at Wall Street.
The rats of Wall Street.
The rats, if you want to call them that.
I want the disgraceful rats of Wall Street.
Well, why do we have to use the word disgrace every time?
Exactly my
about
point. You catch the humor.
But what do we remember most about Spitzer? We remember the press conference where he had his wife standing next to him with that just horrified look on her face as he was you know, just himself wondering what could have been and what might have been. And, you know, the guy is brilliant. He's skilled. He's got a lot of motivation, a lot of energy. You know, maybe he should be working in the nonprofit sector like his wife has, you know, working where his work will not instantly generate this discussion about his past.
Well, let me take you on, too, Mr. Mike Spoon, on that issue. Here's a guy who had the guts to do what nobody had ever done before as Attorney General of New York. He came in, he took on the street, and he made a change forever. Now we get these other guys. We had Andrew Cuomo coming on, pretending he was the sheriff of Wall Street. We got the contemporary governor, you know, the contemporary Attorney General.
Right.
Yes,
Schneiderman.
Eric Schneiderman, coming on and saying that he's the sheriff. Basically, he's doing some of the same thing, but they didn't do it with the passion Elliot Spitzer did. And those guys, if you've ever seen the PIC documentary Client 9, they admitted that they went after
him.
But I'm not done yet.
I want to get you back to the media part. This is the media project. I want to know.
I'm going to go there.
Okay, go there.
I'm telling you something. I'm about to tell you something, and that is you guys like titillation, but I'm telling you, Michael, because I want to answer you directly in terms of what you were saying. I am telling you that if he's controller of the city of New York, he's going to bring the same passion, the same kind of thing to this fight as he did as Attorney General. And so for you to sit there magnanimously or condescendingly and look down on all of us.
He hasn't had time to talk long enough to be magnanimous or condescending.
But why now? Why now when Anthony Weiner is running for mayor and then you have Vito Lopez? And is he not a disgraced state lawmaker?
Yeah, because he didn't ever did what Elliot Spitzer did.
That's right. I want to get this back.
Running for New York City Council, perhaps.
I want to get this back to the media.
I'm going to do it.
We're covering Elliot Spitzer and our publications and your radio station, because it's a New York City race, will probably not use your own people or cover it as heavily as they will in New York City. But be that as it may, should every story about Elliot Spitzer or Anthony Weiner or Mark Sanford or whomever who has been in this circumstance have this kind of information in it? Is it required? Is it basic journalism for us to report this each time, what we would call in the newspaper business B matter?
At one point, it will not be that much of a story that about their past. It, you know, there's no formal statute of limitations, but it will be gradually work its way out. It's like Al Franken. How long did it take for Al Franken, the former Saturday Night Live comedian?
That's different.
You know, but no, I mean, yeah. People will be remembered for their past until they have a future that
that's right.
Proceeds.
And that's what Elliot is doing right now. He's getting back into the game. Now, let me tell you something. I know that you guys are a bunch of hypocrites. I know
5 years is not the statute of limitations.
I know you guys are a bunch of hypocrites. You know what'll make people read those columns in the paper. I mean, almost every time I look at that awful rag, the New York POST, they have a picture of the madam who's running against him, who is also, I hate to use these words, climbing on his back for, you know, trying to get ahead for herself. I mean, I hate those words, too.
I keep falling back to what I was trained in basic journalism is that there are certain facts that are required to be in stories, and that as the fact becomes older, it's still required to be in a story, although lesser prominence, because you never presume that people know everything about the story.
That is so self-serving.
It is still part of the story. There may be a time when it is not part of the story, and that will be defined by Spitzer and how successful he is.
Yeah, he's controller, and he goes after Wall Street again, and he starts saving the people of New York City money, then they'll stop doing it.
But then it'll have a paragraph in the story that says, the first time he did this, it generated the ire of Wall Street, who went after him.
That's good.
I promise you that when Elliot Spitzer passes, and let's hope for Elliot Spitzer, it's 100 years from now, the first paragraph of his obituary is going to say Elliot Spitzer, who was elected governor of New York, had to resign in disgrace, and then yes or no to whether he made a comeback.
Well,
it's part of his history.
Well, I want to raise something with you guys. It's very interesting. I heard of a poll this morning. Every tabloid, the New York Times, everybody has been excoriating Spitzer.
Oh, editorially.
Editorially, yes.
Yes, including my editorial page.
Including the Times Union's editorial.
Okay. I mean, it's unanimous, except for the column I'm going to write this week, which is, of course, going to take a different point of view.
Yes.
Okay, but
Your column should be titled, To the Contrary.
To the Contrary, yes. Right. But I am telling you that it is interesting to me that newspapers whose reputations are lower than a hound's belly in terms of the public perception of who and what they are, and now we see a poll showing Elliot Spitzer ahead of his nearest competitor by a lot. Now, is that just name recognition, or is it that people say, this is unfair, you guys are a bunch of bullies?
Don't you think that's a tremendous story, Ira, that a guy who was ousted as governor because he was caught in a high-priced prostitution scandal is able to make a comeback like that?
Absolutely.
I think that's extraordinary, and we'll report it. Yes. I that's our job. Is
well,
it
but
not
here,
a part
but,
of the story?
But what I'm finding interesting about it, you hypocrites, is what I'm finding so interesting about it is that the people aren't buying your stupid editorials. They are not buying them.
Well, let's
they
wait.
Are, the people are saying, let's give this. Who?
The only poll is on election.
Well,
right
not only that.
And we will look at ourselves in the mirror, and we will say, who does not believe in the concept of redemption from stupidity? And we think that you people, I mean, what? How many times has the owner, the billionaire owner of the New York POST, been married? And what has caused the breakup of his marriage? And are these things that we see on page? I'm not excoriating him. I'm just saying, how come we don't cover him on page 6?
Because he wasn't the governor of the state of New York, and
he's
not running for control.
One of the billionaire heads of the, of the American publishing and film and everything else industry.
People vote with their pocketbooks.
Yeah, and some of the details of that individual, that media mogul named Rupert Murdoch, have been revealed. You know, we know about his newer, younger wife who went after the guy that threw the pie in his face.
But that's over already.
Right.
He just discharged her.
It doesn't define him.
Ultimately, obviously, the people are going to make the decision. And if that 9%, which is a poll that was taken within 48 hours of him announcing, I mean, people could not have given it a lot of thought, I would think. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, he wins. It's still our responsibility to report what his history is all about.
In a titillating fashion.
Well, it depends on what publication you're looking at.
What a stunning comeback story that will be, and it won't have any context unless we tell it why it is a stunning comeback.
You guys are so capable of self-deception.
Is public radio reporting this story?
Of course.
And they're referencing his comeback and the reason for
it. And by the way, on this very station where I sit, which I head,
yes,
they're doing it.
Yeah, and
I'm not telling them they can't do it.
You're not doing it in a titillating fashion.
No.
And nor is Mike's paper, nor is my paper. There are tabloids that are going to run pictures of the prostitute because it's a good picture to run in a tabloid.
Oh, yeah, good picture to run.
In a tabloid.
What do we think we understand?
All right, well,
it's all about
I think...
I'm not done with you guys on this subject by any means.
Well, you'll have to save it for another time, because I want to know, what is a journalist? It's a subject that we've talked about here before. It's
You're going to leave Elliot Spitzer to go to the subject?
Yes,
what
because
is a journalist?
Because we're going to say
again?
We're going to say what a journalist is, so that people will know that the journalists who are writing about Elliot Spitzer are doing so out of the right place. You buy that? To the contrary.
I was talking to a guy just the other night, a major orchestra fellow who has an administrator. And he looked at me and said, there is nobody doing the work anymore. In other words, papers like yours have laid off everybody but the janitor, and maybe in some case the janitor. In your case, Michael, you don't even have a managing editor on your paper anymore.
But those roles are being filled.
Where are you going? You don't have the reporters you used to have.
If you're trying to make the case that the ranks have been diminished in the professional media, we wouldn't argue with that.
That's radio and TV.
Yeah, it's been a process.
But your point is what?
My point is this guy was saying, who's doing the work?
Yeah.
We know that traditionally, and by the way, Americans in a recent poll said, we get all our news from television. Well, where does television get all its news? You read it in the New York Times one day, and the next day...
Everybody else is reporting the question,
as if they've thought the whole thing up. Even NPR does that.
Yeah, and the question of who's doing the work speaks to what is a journalist, because what we're seeing is a cottage industry, largely on the internet, which affords you the ability to do it, of people who are now reporting or commenting. Are they journalists?
The answer is, and I've always said this.
By the way, I'm not saying they're not. I'm just posing the question.
Yes, I understand that.
Yeah.
But unlike you, I take a position and I stick to it.
I'm the moderator this week.
So I have always said, anybody who says they're a journalist has to be regarded as a journalist.
There's no license to be a journalist.
No, some columnist for the New York POST comes on and he goes around and says, other people aren't journalists. Shartok's a professor. He's not a journalist. Well, give me a break. The fact of the matter is, if you're in a doing commentary on a radio or doing radio station, and if you're writing two columns a week, and if you are running the Legislative Gazette, hey, I'm sorry, I'm a journalist.
Need to apologize.
Let's put up the
what about
argument.
The guy who blogs on the
and yeah. sitting yeah. in the basement, you know, the stereotypical of the guy sitting in his underwear in the basement and he's writing. Does he get
not this, in his underwear.
Should he get the protection of the shield laws? Should he be able to file a Freedom of Information request and be treated as a journalist?
There's a fellow at the Poynter Institute for Media Studies, Eric Deggans, who's quite thoughtful, and he writes about this topic. One of the things he points out is that you can commit an act of journalist without being a professional journalist.
Of journalism without being a professional.
Yes.
An act of journalism.
An act of journalism. Example, somebody driving up the thruway and a cloudburst happens. The thruway is partly washed out. They pull out their smartphone. They record this chaos on a little video. They upload it right from their car out to the internet, and other people pick it up. They tweet it, so others see it. Others who
12
follow.
Million people have now seen it.
Right,
and you have the nerve, Ira, to say that's not even suggest that's not.
Oh,
a
I don't
journalist?
Think he suggested otherwise.
But, oh, okay.
But that person has committed an act of journalism. They've told a story. They've illuminated a very important event that others have picked up on. Now, they may go back to their job as an engineer for GE or a clerk at the State Department of Audit and Control the next
Worse
morning.
Yet.
But they committed an act of journalism. You know,
that's fantastic. I love that. I'm going to use it.
Yeah,
I'm going to steal it unashamedly.
Well, from Eric Deggans, I stole it. Yeah.
Does he use the word an act of journalism?
Yeah, an act of journalism.
Yeah, exactly. He said in his essay, that's why I think any talk of a shield law for journalists needs to center on the work done, not the job title. If the point of a shield law is to keep the public as informed as possible by protecting journalists from prosecution for keeping their sources secret, it makes sense to extend that privilege to people practicing journalism who otherwise not be considered members of the club. That's Eric Deggans.
So the shield law should protect the shield blogger law in his underwear in the basement.
And the shield law for the uninitiated is a law that will protect journalists from revealing their sources. And that's, of course, a big story in light of the Snowden case and others along the way.
Well, you know, I've always been somewhat concerned about this. I think on the one hand, I can well understand why you want to do that. On the other hand, people break the law. And we as citizens, if we saw it, have a responsibility for saying that, don't we?
If people break the law, we report that.
Okay, so let me give you a situation. Yeah. All right, ready to play, Mike?
Hypothetical.
Oh, hypothetical. You call me and say, what do you know about this murder? Go ahead, say that.
Hey, Alan, what do you know about this murder?
Know about it. I did it. I'm the one who pulled the trigger. Now they come by and they say to you, and you write in the paper, by the way,
that some guy in Albany committed the murder.
Committed the murder. Now, obviously, you take the most outrageous example in order to make your point,
sure.
which is what I'm doing here. Does that reporter have a responsibility after he said he knew who did the murder for telling who did the murder?
He doesn't cease to be a citizen, and he does have an obligation in a capital crime. Even the shield law does not protect someone in a situation like you described. But let's take it down a notch. What about if you tell me what happened at a grand jury that was investigating the county executive in an unnamed county, I write a story. Yeah. You've committed a crime. You're an officer of the court who has inside information that revealed it. I've witnessed you telling me this.
Yeah.
I know who you are, and I know what crime you committed. And the judge calls me up and says, who told you that? And I say, I'm not going to tell you. I'm protected by the shield law. Well, you'll go to jail.
And some people have gone to jail.
Right.
Exactly.
But in New York State, the guy didn't go to jail. That's exactly what happened. And that is our shield law. We have the toughest shield law in the country. 48 states have shield laws, and none are more harder to get around than New York's. So we have that. But not every state does have that protection. And there is no federal shield law. But after this NSA scandal, so to speak, the revelations about the government looking into everything, the Obama administration is now talking a little more favorably about a shield law.
Yeah, well, because also because they're in hot water.
They got a pickle.
They're in a hot pickle. Yeah.
They're
hot
in
pickle
damage
water.
Control.
But I want to say something. Ever since I've been tuned in to the Whitey Bulger murder trial and to...
This is the gangster
and
in Boston.
A banana story. Yes. And there's a banana mafia story. These guys are coming forward. This guy, Banano guy, apparently was the head of the whole thing. and was convicted of murders and all the rest of it. He ratted on the other guys who worked for him, according to the paper this morning. And as a result of that, he's getting out of jail, even though he killed all those people. Now, I bet you don't see my point, do you?
Well, there's certainly an injustice to that.
And maybe to the reporter getting off, not having to do that.
Well, I think to zero back to where...
There's a law that says you can't talk in a grand jury, talk about what happened in a grand jury.
But there's also a recognition by legislatures all across the country that we are a free society and information should flow and we're better for it. And when you start to go after the person who reports the information, basically turn us into the USSR of the previous year.
That's right. And then to zero back where I started, the issue of what is considered to be a journalist, that definition is changing and it's evolving and people need to get used to it because we can't go by the old rules. And much like Mike and I on our newspapers, you know, we used to say many years ago, newspapers were the first source of information, and then broadcast became the first source of information. And now, to a large extent, it's back to newspapers, but not on print. It's that handheld device where Mike's newspaper or mine, and it's available to WAMC. Your people can text a story, and immediately the bulletin will go out. We've become, in effect, the Associated Press. It's all of these rules have changed, and there are some
people... Well, yes, but for the better or the worse?
I think ultimately, it remains to be seen, but I do think that, as Mike points out, this is a free society with a free flow of information. But,
and some of it is very bad information.
Now we go back to Mike's boss with reader literacy. You do have
what's
to...
What's his name?
Mr. Smith. I'm not sure where he is.
That would be Rex.
Yes, but we need to be discerning. If Alan Chartok tweets something, we can pretty well be sure that it's accurate. If some guy down the street from Alan in Great Barrington, who we don't know, tweets something, we at least ought to be saying, wait a minute, where did he get that information? And that's another thing that's
well, involved. we have columnists for some of the rags who say every week, I have a source and he's a good one. Or I have a Republican source, I have a Democratic source, and they don't even name him.
Well, that individual who you might be referring to, whoever it is, I think there's people who have made a decision about the credibility of that person, and they're informed about that person.
And there's a lot of people who have no idea about the credibility of the individual. They just read it and say, it's in the newspaper, it's got to be true.
Well, it used to be you'd open up the opinion page of the Kingston Freeman or the Times Union, and you would read a commentary, and you'd see it in that paper, and it would have the credibility of that institution, and you knew it would have been vetted. Now, all you're doing is getting a link to it on somebody's Facebook page.
You think Walter Winchell, in the good old days, destroy a lot of careers that didn't deserve to be destroyed?
More so, maybe, than current-day journalists.
That's right.
Yeah, that was advocacy journalism and point-of-view journalism, and I think that's coming back into it.
If this doesn't make you depressed, for those of us who are not in TV, the latest Gallup poll says 55% of Americans say TV is their main source of news, 21% cited the Internet, and 9% cited print.
Now, where did the TV and the Internet get much of their news?
Well, we know where they get the news. They get it from the newspapers. But
many of
but people report.
Do, yeah.
But we do also know an interesting thing, and that is fewer people are watching television. A lot fewer people are watching the network news and the local news. I believe I'm right about that.
Yeah. TV apparently is still doing well financially. I was going to say, though, of that 21% who cited the Internet, how much of the Internet from which they're getting the news is Internet content that we are putting up ourselves?
Sure.
In other words, it's not the Times Union in print, but it's the Times Union, which is the dominant online news source in the Capital District.
And then all the aggregators.
Yeah, who all link back to us.
All come back and they grab everything that they can and they eat it voraciously.
Since we're on TV, though, you know, there's reports now that local television is making a big comeback on the profit side.
Right.
And that sort of raises the question whether the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, will compel these stations to invest more into local programming, meaning local news.
WWOR in New Jersey, they wouldn't renew the license, but what they did do is not take it away. So we'll see what happens with that one.
Right. WWOR had pretty much cut back on their coverage of the state of New Jersey, which doesn't have a television station that gets most of it from the Philadelphia market or from the New York market.
Bad news. But we have to go now.
We have to go now. So we're going to call it there. We're tired of arguing. Alan once again took the contrary position and once again was outnumbered by the rest of us.
Yeah, by you organizational regulars.
2-1.
All right. Well, I'm Ira Fussfeld from the Daily Freeman of Kingston, along with Alan Chartok of WAMC and Mike Spain of the Times Union of Albany. Thanks for tuning into the Media Project, and we'll talk to you next week.
wage. They joined with other actors upon a living stage. Now newspapermen are such interesting people. When they know they've got a people's fight to wage. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, newspaper guild. Got a free new world to build. Meet the people, that's a thrill. All together fits the bill. Oh,